I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mike doesn't like seeing our chins.
I shouldn't come from underneath. No. It needs to come from down, I think.
You don't talk to me about that. I know
we're
about
getting to that age now.
Said the slimmest man in the world.
I'm tall, which is lucky.
Because you do like eating. That's not as crass,
I do,
is it?
But like, do you ever picked up on that? I do eat a lot.
Like, if we get by pick and mix, I have to have my own pick and mix pot, because otherwise
you won't get a look in.
I won't get a look in.
Okay. Even the roast dinner, you didn't eat much, and you never eat that much. When we have a curry after the shows, right, you only have a little bit of rice, don't you?
I end up
eating most of your rice and all. Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Mr. Danny Ward.
Thanks, everyone.
And it's a guest episode, and we've got another Ward.
Yeah.
Two Wards. It's Dave Ward.
Hey. Hello, everyone.
Here he is. Finally, Dave Ward is on the podcast.
No relation.
No relation.
No.
Well,
I don't know.
Have you looked into it?
No, not that closely, actually. No.
But
no.
I have turned up to gigs where your face has been
poster,
and I've turned up. We weren't expecting you. Yeah.
I've had. I once turned up to Isle of Wight, and there was a poster for Danielle Ward.
I was going to say, I wondered if that would go
and
wrong.
That's when I made a joke to Isle of Wight about having a sex change, right? And it just. Silence, and then I play to silence for the rest of the gig. I made some sort of joke. I was Danielle Ward, now I'm Danny Ward.
But the thing is, a normal gig, they probably didn't even know that Danielle Ward was meant to be on.
They wouldn't have known. That's the thing, they had no idea.
No.
They had no idea anyway. I've also had.
So then, look, the whole time they're thinking, has he had a sex change?
I've also had at least two text messages off Sean Mayo,
right,
that were definitely for you.
Yeah, probably. Really? Probably.
Slagging you off. This gig he sent me to.
That's happened quite, a few times actually. I've had people.
Oh, so you must be next to each other on the D Ward, didn't
you?
Yeah. And then there's Don Ward as well, who owns the Comedy Store. And I'm definitely not related to him, otherwise I'd play it more than I do.
A few years ago, Mark Lucero was a really good friend of mine, great comic, I don't think he does it anymore. He said to a load of new acts that Don Ward was my dad. So that was so nice to me. They go, Dave, would you like a coffee? I think, do you know what? I would. He's just like, I don't get booked to the Comedy Store, but you think I can get you in there, do you? Yeah, is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I don't want my dad to help me. I don't want to be a nepo.
Nepo baby. I don't pay this store. It's my dad's gaff.
Yeah. I'll get there on my own.
Yeah, I'll do it on my own.
Did a charity night when he wasn't in there once.
Who books the charity night? I haven't done one of them either. Can't even get in there for free.
Yeah. Danielle's done them loads.
She don't even gig anymore. She still gets asked. I don't know. Wait, is she gig? I haven't seen her for years.
I haven't seen
actually.
Her for a long time. No.
I haven't seen her for a while, no.
Well, there you go. I don't know. Maybe you are
maybe
the same
it was
person.
Me.
Ooh. I've got David Alfie Ward. He's my nemesis at the moment, just to make sure there's no mix up.
Fucking hell,
David
yeah.
Alfie Ward. So has he added Alfie because you'd already been...
Well, he did use Alfie, but I said to him, you've got
Alfie
to use
Ward's
it a bit
Alfie Ward's a good
more.
Name anyway.
It is a good name, yeah.
I think, just Alfie
Ward. As long as he don't get mixed up with Alfie Brown, he'll be all right.
Yeah, and there's another, the Alfie... policeman.
He's called Alfie Moore.
Alfie Moore. Yeah. God, don't want any more Alfie.
No.
If I had my time again, I wouldn't be Danny Ward. I told you this.
Danny's got a couple of other.
I've got a couple of ideas. My mum's maiden name was Mackay,
right,
and my real name is Daniel. So I think Daniel Mackay is
a pretty strong name. That sounds funny.
Yeah. And what's the posh one?
De Winter. My granddad.
No, you won't be able to pull that off.
Daniel De Winter.
Fair play. So
you can't change your name 15 years in, can you? People just think you've gone mad. Yeah. So I'm sort of tied into
it, isn't it? Maybe she'll do it. Now. People talk about
it. Well, for Steve Jameson, mate, but he did change the character as well, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's a great character.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably not Jewish.
Was
no reason other than the fact
it's all about timing, and that's wrong. Yeah.
Steve Jameson was as himself, was he?
For many, many. He used to run the Locarno Comedy Night, and I really liked it. I thought it was really good.
When did you start comedy?
Many years ago. I don't even want to think about it.
Like in the 90s?
If you want, yeah.
I think you should be proud of that. That's great. I'd love to have been sort
like
of seen
have
it
seen
for
it
all
in
those.
The 90s.
Mm. What, me?
Well, the industry as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was before social media, but you just get recommended to clubs, and that's how you got
yeah,
in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, get the Time Out magazine and call the comedy clubs and all that.
I did the Comics Choice once. It was the greatest time. I thought it was great. Mm. I really enjoyed it. I thought I'm a comic. I've arrived now. Yeah, and then a week later, they dropped it.
just happened to be the one you were on.
I don't really have any more podcasts after this. But yeah.
Oh, God. Well, let's hold this one off for a bit. Leave this one in the bank for a while.
What did you do before, Dave?
I left school. I was a golf professional for 2.5 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then I worked for Langham's Brasserie, which is a restaurant Michael Caine owns. So every day there was celebrities coming in. I've seen so many A-list celebrities. It was just fantastic. That was amazing. And I went to manage a pub, then I went to manage nightclubs. Yeah, and then I sort of fell into this, really.
I ad-libbed a golf joke the other day. Someone said they do golf, and normally I've got a few golf jokes that I will go to, but I can't remember what happened. I basically said, but you haven't got a golf joke, and I went, I've got four. I was really chuffed with that. But that's an example of a joke that if I'd just gone in with a joke about golf and done that, it would get nothing because it'd be like, oh, that's just too easy. Do you know what I mean? But on the spot, that just worked beauty. Yeah. It's lovely. Yeah.
Hit the
sweet spot.
On the sperm of the moment.
That's a golf joke.
Is it?
I think so. Is there a sweet spot when you hit the golf ball?
There is.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. So do you still play golf at all now?
No, I don't. I haven't played for many years.
But if you did, do you reckon you'd be straight back at good level?
So I went up for an advert and I got down to the top three where you had to hit a golf ball, and I thought, oh, blimey, I better go down a driving range. And I went down the driving range and I was terrible.
Really?
I was terrible. So the sort of
hitting the ball. Swings and roundabouts?
Yeah.
Golf range, swings, roundabouts,
swings. Got it.
It's like this all the time, by the way.
I think you have to, really. But you're absolutely right, Mike. And because I've got loads of jokes that are sort of average, you know, and I wouldn't say, oh, I was playing golf the other day and said a joke. But if you're talking to someone who plays golf and you put it in,
then and you compare a lot, so that you're in those situations more than most, I would have thought.
And that really, really helps. I've got a joke about a dentist for years ago, but on its own, it's terrible. But if you've got a dentist in, it works really well.
Yeah, it's the one you're just filling with.
Yeah, that one. We haven't rehearsed this. It's very quick.
It is, isn't it? It's exhausting. So, talk about golf. It's a bit like tennis. It's like boom, 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 boom. I'm just like this. But Dave, you basically you talking about new material, which obviously we do all on this gig.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably better positioned than most, aren't you? Because I can't think of you program, co-host, and run what I think is probably the most established new act night there is, really.
Definitely in the modern era.
In the modern era, isn't it? Backyard.
We've been doing the backyard on Thursday for about 11 years.
Yeah.
Now,
is it 11 years?
I think so.
Wow.
Because they knocked it, the whole thing got knocked down and rebuilt as a travel lodge, and then with the comedy club underneath. And then I said to Dan, 6 months before it opened, I'd like to do like a new material night for experienced acts. And then I thought, I couldn't be bothered. Then I bumped into Dave Whitney, and he goes, oh, well, I'll do all the promotions, you book the acts. All right, let's do it. So we did it. And for the first couple of years, it was tough. We didn't get many people in. I think we were one show away from being pulled, a bit like Alex Ferguson in the football.
Yeah.
It was one win, one loss away from being sacked at Man United. And then he went on a run, and then we ran on a run. It gradually built up, and we got some big names down, and it's just great now.
Yeah. So because the audience now know that it's a good night.
It's good. We also have a couple of newer acts coming through. We're trying to get on the weekend, so they're very strong, doing their best bits. And then we have some overseas acts. There's always an American or Canadian good one, or Australian coming through in London for a couple of weeks and get them on as well. So it's a real nice mix.
And have you had some big names as well from like American comics and that come drop in or anything like that?
The big names, probably not that people would know, but all the top American comics, if people don't know, when they come over there, they always pop in and do it.
So it's always going to be a good quality.
They're always top quality,
So you see people working their brand new stuff in a lot then.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. So you must have seen so many different.
What's your take on it?
Like styles the of because yeah. I always go on with a notepad and I tick and cross, but I can do that because I'm a one-liner comic and they don't have to. I think if you're trying to tell a true story and it's written in front of you, I think that's harder to get across the line. But with me, I find with gags, I can literally go right this one.
Because I do tell them at the beginning, people in the audience, they don't know what they're in for. That's exactly what they're in for. And I'd rather you turn up, Mark, read it off your pad and do your joke to see if it works, rather than not reading off your pad and forgetting it and going home and thinking, oh, I forgot that joke about golf that I wanted to. You know. So that's why
useful for the comic.
And also, because we have visiting comics in doing their best stuff and Nurak's doing their best stuff, you put you in the middle of a section and you can just go, you know, do 10 minutes of noon. If it don't work, just tell another joke.
Do you think, and I know this is dead hard in 5-minute sets, but in a 10-minute set, do you think it's worth doing a couple of old stuff bits at the beginning to prove that you're funny as opposed to
it
not?
It depends how much you want to get out, but I would have thought so. Because when...
The trouble I have with that is, if they don't work...
Well, yeah. No. Well, you've got to come to us. What problem is, because for the first few years we'd have between 30 and 50 people there, which is an ideal for new material night. But in the last 2 years, the minimum we had is probably 70. So averaged out about 100. And then when you walk into that room, you think, oh my God, I don't want to die in front of 100 people. Yeah,
there is that.
You know, it's a different.
It's like I've been, you know, if this is terrible, but when I'm being single, if there's a few hot girls in the audience, I don't want to die in front of them. Is that bad? I'm getting better at that, actually, as in, I think I'm at a point now where I can go on with stuff that doesn't really work and still own it and not being an embarrassing. I can they know clearly these are new jokes. If it doesn't work, I don't feel embarrassed by them if they don't work. Yeah. I go, well, that one didn't work. Do you know what I mean? I'm at a point now where I think I it doesn't bother me. So you can't see it on my face that I'm worried.
Yeah.
When I used to do the Comedy Caf New Act Night, Lee Mack was on, and he was one of my favourites, and he was 5 minutes in, he goes, you know what, I am good at this. He was really struggling. Well, if he can struggle, then I can struggle.
It's just that temptation, isn't it? We were talking earlier at another podcast about no one turning up to like new or open mic spots in London. We're just performing to other acts, which is, you know, pretty hellish. But almost some ways you don't want too many people when you're trying stuff out new, because I just get the temptation just to, you want to have a really good gig in front of that many people, don't you? I guess it's a good problem to have.
But I did Pear Shape once, and there was 3 people in the audience, and I did it with Mickey Flanagan. And I'm going, Mickey, I need to be here, but why are you? He said, I just want to say the words. Yeah, and if I get the words right, different from yesterday, then 3 people can show me. You know,
but the example of this is that, you know, that Christmas gig I went to that was like a new material gig in, Ramsgate or something? I was telling you about where everyone was talking and it was sort of groups, Christmas groups. We spoke about it on here.
Yeah.
But with that, the whole gig wasn't great, but 2 or 3 of my new jokes hit, and it's like, that's worth it.
Of course, 100%.
Like, because if it works
it's
there,
your job, isn't it? Yeah.
If it works there, it'll work anywhere. So for me, even just one joke working, I'd happily struggle for the whole thing if I get one good joke out of it.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't always know. There might be, we're going to talk about it in a minute, maybe a joke you think is going to be really good, do it 10 times, it doesn't get anywhere, and there's one you think, oh, this isn't very good, and you put it in and it gets an amazing laugh. Yeah. We're always the best judges. Yeah.
So, so Dave, you're someone I've always sort of, we quite often chat about jokes,
don't we?
Like you'll watch me and I'll watch you, and if there's something that we think, oh, have you tried this, tried that?
Yeah, definitely.
So have you got bits that you've... It could be anything, really. It could be new ideas, could be jokes from over the past that have annoyed you that you haven't got to work, or, like you say, those ones you're excited about and then don't work.
Yeah, well, I sort of think of things, and then I say them to my girlfriend, and she says they're not funny.
I've had lots of girlfriends like that.
And then I just spend the next 6 months trying to prove her wrong, really.
It's quite good motivation.
And it turns out she's right on a lot of occasions.
Because she's the every person. Do you know what I mean? So she's just taking it. She's not coming from a comic brain.
No.
She's going, is that funny or not?
I've got loads of...
It is frustrating that, though. I've been in relationships where they get fed up with you trying jokes. So then naturally, as soon as you start one, then they're negative on it straight away.
But there was something I said to... We're talking about being in the right place at the right time. I don't even find this funny, but something I thought of, and I said to her, and she goes, well, where's the joke? And I go, oh... But that evening, the first person I spoke to was a netball player, and she was like 5'5". And I said, don't need to be a bit taller to be a netball player. She said, ideally. And I thought, I'm going to try this now. So I was watching the darts with Luke Littler, how good he is. And then on YouTube, it came up Eric Bristol versus Jockey Wilson. I don't even know Jockey Wilson, but he's a Scottish dart player. I say he's 4'10", he's a bit taller, but he's 4'10". That's amazing to be that good at 4'10", because you need to be taller. I said, anyway, although every time it's double top, the ref had to get his darts out. I mean, I know it's not an amazing joke, but it tickled me, and I just thought he put it in. It got along at the right time. But,
yeah, so I mean, so yes, because you're riffing.
But if I said, oh, watching the dart, you're not tall enough, you know.
And then, yeah, because that looks like you've gone, well, it's funny when people aren't tall, and you've written the joke specifically, but if it comes off of it's talking to that. Someone who is an athlete and is shorter.
Yeah, that just fucked up.
There's also something nice in saying double top. As opposed to, I don't know, like, you know, double 20s. You know what I mean? Double top.
Double top.
It's a nice little sort of intricacy of language. That
is true, actually.
Only people who know what they're talking about darts would ever say double top, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I suppose, yeah.
But also, that is just for a joke. That sounds better.
Yeah, because also it immediately puts it at the top. You could say a number, 20, couldn't you?
Yeah, and then you've got to go, oh, where is number 20 on the dartboard?
Yeah. So it's
me and my mates play darts. They're both end up with double one and call it a draw.
So that's quite a topical joke that you sort of started thinking about because of Luke Littler.
Things come into my head.
His name's Littler as well.
Yeah, watching the news yesterday and the Gritters are on strike. Think, what are they on strike for? Less hours? And they work 10 days a year. What are you after? Well, warmer conditions. It's just like, you know.
The Gritters.
That's great. Oh, the Gritters. I had a snow joke about,
snow joke.
So the joke was, this didn't, so what the joke was is it's about when you get snowed in and you can't go to work. So the reveal was, I work driving a snowplow. So the only time you need to is when it is snowing. That was revealed. It just never quite worked. I think I just delivered it like, you suppose it has to be snowing for you to even bring it up.
I suppose you need otherwise the snowplow in the garage rather than at work.
That's it. But then if it is, isn't that funny if you have got the snowplow with you?
No, because
I got snowed in, yeah. I got snowed in the other day. Oh, you can't say snow twice.
No.
But it's, what would you say if you can't say snow twice?
Couldn't get the plough off the drive.
Oh, plough, yeah. But the punchline was, I said at work they're a bit annoyed, but they're going to have to find someone else to drive the snow plough. So you need to say snow plough. Or you could just say plough. There's someone else to drive the plough. That could be a farm.
Could be.
So it would need to be snow plough. But or if it is snowing, you go, oh, I couldn't get to work. But then also you've got the point of you're a stand-up comedian. So when you're saying, currently, I've got another job, suddenly they're questioning.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got to be a part in the past, I suppose.
Or my mate.
I wrote the niche podcast button.
Danny always gets one button. God, go for it again. Danny. No.
It's like which Daniel it? When you tell him off. He likes that.
Which one is it?
Niche.
That one. Which one? Niche. Right.
Niche podcast.
Right. So.
So what you got? You got your notepad out.
He's pulled out his notes.
Or some paper.
Oh, only a couple of things. Because you said to me, bring something along that's been in notebook for years that you've never made work. And so I rewrite my headings of jokes every like 10 days on a bit of paper. And then after 10 days, I'll rewrite it. It's all crumbled up. And then some I'll leave off because they just don't work.
That's quite a cool technique.
But there's some there that I just keep writing at the bottom of the page.
Can I be so rude? Really want to know what you just said. But all the time in my head, I was just thinking, when you said something from ages ago, I was trying to think of a joke where I could say something. How far back in history can I go to be insulting about how long you've been a comedian? And I was just going through my head, like, well, could I say a joke about Thatcher? Or is that too soon? Is that too realistic? Is it Henry VIII? Would that be too far away? And all the time you're talking, and Danny goes, that was a good point. I was like, oh, I really wish I'd heard what you said. Is that how my brain works?
Well, listen to it back.
So I've seen you in your A4 piece of paper. I hadn't really quite realised that was your
technique.
Those are the three or four things that I've
So you just carry this around at all times?
So what's the technique? Tell me.
I just write the headings of the jokes. So,
and every 10 days?
Yeah. And every 10 days I rewrite a bit of paper and everything that doesn't work, I just leave it off. Or,
okay.
And all the bits on the right-hand side are bits there for years that I've been...
Keep trying.
And
this is mainly for comparing, is it?
Well, anything. Yeah, anything. You know, and people go, oh... what's the point of writing topical stuff? I go, yeah, well, if you write a joke about a footballer cheating on his wife, I guarantee 6 months later, there'll be another footballer cheating on their wife. Yeah. You know, she just changed the names.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's always worth keeping it in your head. You know, I've even got Christmas jokes on here and everything.
Wow, you know, so that's cool. So what's the most annoying one on there for you?
The only reason I do this is because even if you're giving a presentation every day, you still want to go through your thing. So I always look over my notes, because if there's something on here I haven't done for 6 months and then I find out there's a dentist and I think, oh, I've remembered looking at that joke sort of thing. Mm. So that's all.
So it reminds you.
There's loads there. But the ones because I think for me, it's the premise is the hard thing to come up with. New premise. Mm-hmm. And that for me is the hardest bit. And I've come up with two or three premises. I think, oh, no one's got a joke about this. And then I can't make it funny and go, that's why no one's got a joke about it.
I did see you had Syria written on your sheet there.
Oh, Syria. Oh, I can't do that one on there. No. Well, years ago, you cut this out, but years ago.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
About random acts of kindness for strangers, and I thought, I don't do enough random acts of kindness for strangers. So I went on the internet and I sponsored a guy, a stranger, doing a walk. I thought, what, £1 a mile? What's the worst it could happen? Turns out I sponsored a Syrian refugee. 3,000 miles he walked. It would have been cheaper sponsoring the Proclaimers. That's the joke. But that's only there.
Is that bad?
I don't think that's bad, is it?
But can you work out a way of doing it without it being...
Maybe the premise of doing something good for someone else is always there, you know, and then...
Because could you just make it about the Proclaimers, about, like, they're a bit hard up? And they...
I sponsored, so it turns out it's the Proclaimers.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Or something like that.
So I knew it's worth coming.
Yeah. That's worth a couple of stops on DALR, isn't it?
That's yeah.
I can just see you saying
I'm missing new swimming for this, but tonight, this side of today's worth it.
Turns out it's only the Proclaimers, isn't it?
Oh, well done, Danny.
Because also... Mark. Because also, the good thing about the Proclaimers is you're not spoon-feeding. Because if you went the Proclaimers, 500...
Yeah.
But the audience have to do a little bit of work.
Yeah, yeah,
and that
yeah.
Just will
the enduring nature of that song as well is astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone knows that song.
It's still current, even... It's still current. Youngsters.
What else you got on your sheet there, Dave? Yeah, yeah. Well,
the one that is... I've been thinking about this thing, and I've come to a conclusion. There's two bits, and I'll tell you why they're there, and now I'm going to bring them together. I've had an epiphany this morning, but one is I've never seen anyone do jokes about unwritten rules, and the only thing I think of for 3 years about an unwritten rule is don't sleep with your mate's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend. Mm. But there must be more unwritten rules, because I remember Michael McIntyre doing a thing about the weather. Oh, this is the coldest January since records began, and somebody go, oh, this is really cold, we must write this down. So, and he makes a real thing about it.
Yeah.
Nothing unwritten rules. So I think, you know, I didn't know he was allowed to, you know, cheat on a mate's girlfriend, whatever. He said, well, it's not written anywhere. So we'll write it down. So. And then on the train yesterday, there was a couple going, oh, yeah, she wore white to the wedding, she weren't the bride. So, oh, that's another unwritten rule. And I mentioned it to my girlfriend, she said, there's loads. Yeah. You know, like, girls can't go out showing their top or their legs, you need to... show off one sort of thing, and then there's different colours you can't work together. And so anyway, so I'm gonna. That is always there. I can't make it funny, but the thing.
But you got, so you got the concept there.
I've got the concept of unwritten rules because I've never seen anyone do a joke about it, and I want to get.
Yeah, but you haven't got the concept about unwritten rules because no one's ever written it down.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then I think there's got to be something. But well, I'm going to type. There's.
Well, you can't prove that anyone's done it because there's no. Yeah, there's no, or you can't. Yeah. That someone else done it because there's no proof.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one. This is. I think people are saying, "Oh, what a great idea!" But it's not worked. It works when not is. I saw Raheem Sterling when he played for Man City. He scored a hat trick. He was being interviewed on Match of the Day, and he had the match ball under his arm, sort of. And I'm thinking, my God, you're a multi-millionaire and you're stealing from work. You're taking the ball home just because you have a decent day at work. Mm. But the main point is, can you imagine going into work like if you're a paramedic? And then you're on the way, and where's the defibrillator? Oh, John saved three people yesterday. He brought them back to life, and we thought we'd let him take it home. Or someone's got
in the office. That's really nice.
No, and I thought you go into the office, and you go, where's my computer? Oh, John, he let 3 hours out yesterday. We thought we'd let him take his home. Or it's like today, if this podcast is the most amazing podcast, and I get to take my microphone home, the next person comes in, where's my mic? Oh, Dave, yeah, amazing figures. You're going to have to share Danny's.
That's brilliant.
But there's something there, isn't there?
I remember that football game because that was the best Sterling's been since Brexit. I think I've been waiting to say that. Yeah. But that concept is great. I think the defibrillator one, I feel that that's the end of... That's the funniest one.
Because what I thought I could, whatever somebody says in their job, I could put it into their job. That was my idea.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
So you mean if you've taken the information earlier on in the set?
If I'm chatting to someone about whatever their job is, you imagine going, like you're a firewoman, going in to work and there's no water. Oh, someone's taking a hose though.
But could you, so I feel like you could do like three, and then the defibrillator one, I think is a good one for the, like the rule of three last one or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I think, could you do a thing where you bring it to the gig and be like about... Oh, it would be nice at the end of your set if you go, this went well, I'm having this. And that could be a callback to the to the end of your set. And then you could just hand... You could tell the compere you're going to do
this
that.
This went well, you could just unplug it and take it with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be an amazing end to an Edinburgh show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like an hour. Or just a set.
No, I'm just saying it makes it more difficult for the next act coming on.
But you just have a laugh and you pop it back in.
But the slight thing that I was going to do with Harry Kane in Germany is just like, he's up in court. Why are you up in court? For stealing? What do you mean stealing? I stole that trick. I was going to take the ball home. No, but in England, we're allowed to take it home. Where does it say that? Where's an unwritten rule? Well, we need to write it down. In Germany, it's theft, you know.
No, but I think isn't it, because of Saudi Arabia is such a big thing now. If you steal in Saudi Arabia...
That's it. You want someone who's out in Saudi Arabia.
And you don't want to be the goalkeeper.
Yeah. That's it. Of course, cool. Saudi Arabia,
and that's so current at the moment.
No one in Saudi Arabia wants to score that trick.
Yeah,
because they make you take the ball and someone thinks you nicked it.
Yeah, that's good.
That is good.
Thank you. You owe us now.
I know, this is great.
Like you say, that's a great concept, isn't it?
You can say, well, I went to the rules. There's loads of them, if you think about it. I Googled it, nothing came up. Does that make sense?
I looked up in the encyclopedia, I couldn't find anything.
But it's one of those things where it just feels really chunky, doesn't it? Like unwritten rules. You could do a whole Edinburgh show about it.
I would have dropped it, but I just know I want to do
something about it.
Yeah, why is it unwritten? Why is it?
And can you link it back to the Ten Commandments as well? Because they're the first written rules, aren't they? but I wonder if God had any unwritten ones.
There's loads in it.
I feel like there's a good chunk of section there. You could. It is funny, really funny.
Oh, cool.
I think. That's great. Well, that's nearly time. Have you got any others that you definitely want to just quickly run past us?
How was that 30 minutes?
I know, it's absolutely flying by.
Sorry.
That's right. It's brilliant. It's a good thing.
It's a good
But we've got a couple of quickfire questions as well that we ask everyone.
Yeah, of course.
Best/worst heckle you've ever had?
I used to do a joke that if there was an annoying woman in the audience, I used to say to her, look, if you're the only woman left in this whole world and I was the only man, it's down to us to keep civilization going, to make babies and everything. Would we make a baby? And I had something for yes, something for no, something for maybe. And she goes... Well, there'd be little point with me because I haven't got a womb. Try and come back from that. That was in Ipswich. And a year later, I went to do the very same gig. And I said to a woman, what's your name? I said, you got a boyfriend? She's like, bursting into tears. He dumped me yesterday and I've come here to forget about him and walks out. And both times they're all booing me. It's just like, oh, no.
Did they start booing?
Yeah, they started booing. Both times they started booing me. It's like, A, I didn't take her womb out. And B, I wasn't her ex-boyfriend, you know. And it's just like, oh.
So they're heckles that just... There's different sorts of heckles, aren't there? But they're ones that just make you, the whole kid go stone dead and you can't do anything about it.
I can't do it.
Jesus.
Oh, and that joke before, actually, some woman shouted out, well, if you had sex with me, you'd burn your backside on the light. Right, it made the saying, I'm really big, you know. I said, look, if I had sex with you, there's no way I'd have the light on. That was what that was. That's how that went.
But that's okay because she had a pop first.
And she wasn't even involved in this. She was just shouted out from somewhere else. I couldn't even see her, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just something.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's all.
The other question is, what's the most, as a comic, what's the most annoying thing that people say to you in general when they find out you're a comedian?
I'll come and see you and then they don't follow it up.
Yeah. Like people you know, friends.
I'm doing the hall 3 doors from your house. Oh, I can't make that.
Yeah. You get that a lot, actually, because people go, always let us know. And you let them know and they just never come.
I don't really try and talk about it that much. I know I'm on your podcast, but I don't really try and talk about it that much. I try and keep myself to myself, you know, unless I'm trying to get people to my show or whatever. Mm.
Cool. Right, shall we do the music, Danny?
Mark. I've once again forgotten. It's this one.
Oh, wow. Is that the first time you nailed that? Oh, that is beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for coming. Where can people find your stuff?
David Ward Comic on Instagram. I'm getting back into doing that, so there's loads of little clips out.
Oh, cracking. Nice. And Danny Ward Comedian?
Yeah, Danny Ward Comedian. Don't get those
two. Well, follow both of them.
I'll have to check if it's Danny Ward Comedy or Danny Ward Comedian.
Oh, Danny Ward Comedy.
Either way, you'll find the idea.
You'll find it. And we're back on tour 2024, so do check out lots of new tour dates going in. MarkSimmons.co.uk for all information. And they've got a tiny little bit of time to fill for the music to finish. So what I'll do is say, go leave us a review. Lovely 5-star review, Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That'd be very much appreciated. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. And let me ask you, anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. And remember,
be more Gareth.
Hashtag Awooga.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.